From our studios in Cuenca, Spain, I'm Kate Jetmore with Listen. Today, we kick off Season 2 with a series of interviews focusing on members of the international health and wellness community. What does each of them bring to the table from their birth cultures? What have they learned from their adopted countries? And what have their experiences taught them that we can benefit from? My first guests are Olga Galati and Pavan Galati. Together, they founded Juno Health and Wellness in San Francisco in 2014. They later relocated to Olga's home country of Colombia, and for the past 2 years, they and their young daughter have lived in Alicante, on the coast of Spain. Welcome, Olga and Pavan. I'm so glad you could join me today.
We are really happy to join you, Kate, and thank you so much for having us.
It's a pleasure. Before we dig in to your business, I'd love to know a little more about the two of you. Where you're from, maybe you could tell us about some of the influences that led you down the path to wellness. Olga, would you like to begin?
Absolutely. So, like you were saying in the introduction, I'm from Colombia. And every time that I get this question asked, I go back and try to remember if there was like a conversation or something specific. And it's hard to remember because I feel like I've always been interested in the health topic, to the point that I have this memory that I always share where I was only like 11 or 12 years old, and both my mom and my aunt gifted me for my birthday a book on the medicinal aspects of herbs and flowers. So, you know, I was like very young. And then I remember that from then on, every time that I would get asked what I wanted to become or what I wanted to study, I would say that I wanted to become a doctor. But then also, as I started getting older, I start like becoming interested in mental health as well. So I first considered going to school to become a psychiatrist. And then I guess when I was in my junior year, it became clear that I was more inclined in the mental health aspect. So I decided to go to school to become a psychologist.
Interesting. That's really interesting because it seems like you sort of started with, you know, something very physical, the physical body, and mm-hmm. then somehow that you started to see a connection there with the mind at a very young mm-hmm. age.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very early on also, I remember always having some sort of intuition, notion, like this gut feeling that we had some sort of essence, energy, you know, people call it a lot of different things, that was connected to both mental and physical health. So I always kind of was, you know, I didn't have things very clear at that point. I hadn't read any theory. I hadn't talked to many people that knew about this yet, but I had this sense that there was something that was connected there.
Would you call that spirit? I mean, when people talk about mind, body, spirit, is that third element that you're calling a gut feeling?
Yes, yes. I would call it spirit, maybe soul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So this journey started for you at a very young age. How about you, Pavan?
So for me, it was actually quite a bit different. I was well into my career, which was on the lab bench as a scientist in San Francisco. About 15 years ago, a friend of mine was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And that was kind of a shock to all of us because he was just in his 30s or even probably his late 20s at the time. He ended up reading a book called Anti-Cancer from an author called, Servant Schreiber, probably not pronouncing it correctly, but mm-hmm. It was a book that he read and he just devoured it, and he thought it was really great for all his friends to kind of be aware of some of those concepts. And so he lent it to me before I took a trip, a vacation to Spain. And so I got to enjoy that book while I was on the beaches of the Mediterranean. And so that really hit home because a lot of what he was talking about was specifically about the Mediterranean diet and concepts where what you eat and what you put into your body and how you treat your body on a daily basis really can affect your overall health and wellness. It doesn't sound anything revolutionary, but it's something that we don't tend to think about every day in a sense that while we're eating with 3 meals a day, we're essentially dosing ourselves, and we get to choose what we put into our bodies. And with the typical American diet that I was having while I was at the lab bench was very far from these concepts that he was talking about, where in the States, as we're, in the corporate world, we really, it was, you eat when you can, and you kind of get back to work right away. And so sometimes it's more about just feeling your body really quickly just to finish your job for the day. But here in the Mediterranean, the kind of, it's more about the lifestyle and the community, and all of that kind of goes into affecting how you're treating your body and your overall health and wellness.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back and talk about the Mediterranean diet for a second, because that's something that really has hit home with me too since I moved to Spain. So there are a couple things I hear you saying. One is what you eat. So I'd love to go back and have one of you describe what it is that you eat when you're eating the Mediterranean diet. But I also want to talk about how you eat, because you cannot even compare the kind of lifestyle where, you get sort of on paper, you get 30 minutes to eat. It's that sort of translates to 20 minutes to eat. You're doing it at your desk. You also have to go to the bathroom and make a phone call, and then you're back on the clock. It's impossible to compare that to a culture where everything comes to a screeching halt for 2 hours and everything closes because everyone's going home to eat. It's the number one priority in that country for 2 hours. It's just incredible. So let's go back to the Mediterranean diet and talk about what that entails, what you eat, and sort of how you eat.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, basically, like, one of the main things that you would hear, that you'll read when they talk about Mediterranean diet, is that it's abundant in vegetables, like fresh vegetables, lots of olive oil, which is probably one of the healthiest fats that we have on earth, really, and lots of fish. But then, well, dried, like nuts, like almonds and walnuts and all these like healthy fat protein like foods. But also I feel like what you were saying about the time that they take here to eat, it's so important and makes such a big difference. Because sometimes people, for example, will come, like it happened to us, and you'll see that it's not all the time, all veggies, all fish. You know, they'll also eat their fried foods and their jamón serrano, which is also part of this diet. But the difference is how they eat. They do take time to put their phones away, stop talking about work completely. You will not hear a conversation about how the work go, how hard it is, or how much money you're making. You are connecting, taking time to be with your family, and to really digest and like take advantage of all the nutrients that you have in front of your plate. And then also that time allows people to eat homemade meals, which is a huge difference. Because when people say to me like, oh yeah, but they, yeah, Mediterranean, lots of veggies, the olive oil and all that, but people do eat a lot of like fried foods and pork. And I'm like, I don't know if it's a lot, that depends on the household, but I can tell you that every single thing that they eat, and even sometimes when you go to restaurants, it's homemade. It's still made from scratch. And it's a huge difference with America, for example, where when you go to the restaurant, particularly if you go to chains, you know, we can't generalize, but, you know, if we were to compare like similar places in America and here in Spain, in the Mediterranean, there's a lot of frozen foods, already prepared sauces, and that is so different from eating croquetas, which are fried foods that are like served with homemade, made from scratch tomato sauce. You know, so
the sauce is made from scratch. But even if you look at what goes into the croquettes, the croquetas, I mean, they've made the broth by boiling a chicken carcass, right? It's a homemade broth. And then they've picked all the flesh off the chicken carcass. That's what goes into, you know, that's the chicken that's in the croquetas, maybe a little bit of cured ham, that sort of thing. They're rolled by hand, fried in olive oil, which is amazing.
Yes.
I don't want this conversation to sound like everyone in Spain is doing it right and everyone who's not doing it this way is doing it wrong. What words of advice or encouragement do you have for people who are living in a culture where there's just not a lot of time? I mean, you have to run and get the kids from school, and then they have play practice, or they have to go to, you know, volleyball. Then you get home, everyone's starving, it's time for dinner, it's dark outside. I mean, what about people who aren't supported by kind of a cultural infrastructure? Do you have, what can you say to those people?
Two things. I always go to two things. One, eat plants, no matter the format. If you cannot go to the market, you know, to the farmer's market, if you need to go to the grocery store, the most convenient, and buy frozen vegetables, do it. But do eat plants. You know, there's a lot of theories out there about what you should eat, what you should not. The keto diet, the paleo diet. No, now it's veganism. And sometimes they contradict each other so much, but I've always said that the one thing that you will always find in common within all of the nutrition theories out there is eat plants. And they are right, because two of the main things that you want to do or provide for your body are both antioxidants and anti-inflammatory agents, and those are found mainly in vegetables. So if all that you can do is just grab a pack of frozen broccoli and then quickly saute it with some olive oil, or just even put it in the microwave, go ahead and do that instead of buying, I don't know, like frozen pizza or frozen lasagna, which once in a while is perfectly fine. It's always also about the balance. But do that and you will see a difference. It's a huge difference. And then the other one is try to prep ahead of time. Because I do have a lot of clients, you know, that are under this situation, like people that really have jobs where they have to get up at 5 a.m., they drive 2 hours to get to work, and then they get back home at 7, and then they have to do, you know, everything you were describing, like take care of the kids, dinner, this and that. So I say at least take 1 hour, 2 hours at the most on the weekend, and my favorite is make soup. Make some soup. You know, soup is not very elaborate. I think everyone can nail a soup recipe that they like. And just
I would love it if you could share with our listeners just a simple recipe off the top of your head for soup. I mean, I use the word recipe, but I mean, what do you throw in a pot when you?
Oh yeah, I got it for you, Kate. Because okay. I make this every single week at our home, particularly when it starts getting cold. I'm not kidding. And Pavan is laughing right here because he likes it, but he's not like, oh, you made again the green soup, you know? But it's easy. I love it because you have like a variety, a wide variety of vegetables in a pot where you only do this. So this is what I do. For a base, I usually have onions and garlic. You know, that's healthy. That's very antibacterial, antibiotic, but it gives flavor. So, and it's vegan, you know, for all the people out there that are listening that are like, oh, I don't want, because a lot of people say, like, when you don't have like a chicken broth, soup tastes like yucky, like bland, and that is not true. I do eat, here in this house, we eat chicken, we eat pork, we eat beef, but this soup is very simple. So you saute onions and garlic in olive oil, and then you add whichever other vegetable you can find. So sometimes I'll do, for example, broccoli and spinach. Then the next time I'll do chards and celery. The next time I'll do leek, green peas, and another type of squash or something like that. I saute that olive oil so that it browns a little bit. The browning gives such a nice flavor, like almost a little bit sweet. Then add water, not too much, so your soup is nice, creamy, and thick. You don't need to add potatoes or flour. Blend it, and you're done. And if you make enough, then you have soup for 2 to 3 days, or at least dinner. You know, that's one of the meals that people struggle with a lot. It's like they get home, they're tired, they have no idea what to do. So just go get some mason jars, make a huge batch of soup. It's going to take you half hour, no more than that, I swear to God. And then you just like portion it and put it in the freezer or in the fridge. You know, for us, I don't even freeze it. You know, we'll eat it throughout 3 days. It's still good. And there you've got yourself. You can have that and a rotisserie chicken, you know, bought from, you know, the rotisserie from your neighborhood. And that's a whole meal packed with nutrients that took you very little time.
That sounds delicious. I have a pea soup that I make. I haven't made it for a while, but it's getting to be the season, and it has that same base. I usually use leeks in the base as well. And then the secret ingredient is sprinkling a little bit of kind of toasted or sauteed ham on top.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. You know, you can have the exact same soup and then just top it with something different every time. You can have like homemade croutons. You can have some nuts. You can have some goat cheese. That idea that you just shared sounds super yummy. Sometimes also like tofu, sauteed tofu, stuff like that on top of your soup, and even corn chips, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Something to feel like you changed your dish. You're not eating exactly the same thing, but, you know, what I always say is, like, the amount of veggies, the servings that you can have in just one bowl of soup, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's great for that.
Well, thank you. Those are great ideas. I would love to turn to Juno Health and Wellness. That's the name of your business. I just would love to know what it is you do. Let's start with the name. Why Juno? Why Juno Health and Wellness?
Juno is the name of our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I tell people is that when Pavan and I were looking for a name, we tried a lot of different things. And one thing that I didn't get a chance to mention at the beginning, which has been a huge motivation for me to talk about and help people with health, is that I had an eating disorder that lasted 15 years, and mm-hmm. that affected me emotionally a lot and physically. When I went through a lot of therapy, when I recovered from the symptoms, you know, just like the binging and purging, my body was like destroyed. So I needed to do a lot of things to get better. And people ask me, what was the thing that finally, after 15 years, which was the therapy that really got you out of that? I was like, all of them. I think that every single step of that was like absolutely important, and I would go back and do it all over again the same. But getting pregnant was like this needs to change. Like, this mm-hmm. has got to stop now and forever. And it did. It did.
And
no
when you say that, it started with the pregnancy. Was that about wanting to provide a healthy body for your growing baby? Or were you thinking more of the future of what kind of example am I setting? What kind of world and home is she going to come into?
At that point, it was actually more the psychological part of it. It's like, I can't have a daughter that's going to come and like watch me go hide in the bathroom too, so that I can throw up what I just ate. You know, at that point, I was a lot better, a lot, 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 lot better. When we got married, I was like practically getting out of it, but not 100%. But then Juno, when she came, it was like, okay, this is it. This is it. I am ready to do whatever it takes to make the change 100%.
Mm.
So that's when I started having this conversation with Pavan, and I was like, you know what? Our business needs to be named after Juno. She was a big push for us to make a lot of decisions. She was a big push for us also to, you know, dare taking risks. And I guess we're going to talk about that like a little bit further along. But
yeah, I mean, it's interesting because you're talking about how your daughter provided the impetus for, you know, you becoming healthier or sort of taking the leap toward health as a human being, as an individual. What was it that made the two of you take the leap toward founding the business, you know, sort of getting formal about it, giving it a name, giving it a public face, and, you know, beginning to attract clients. Was there a specific moment?
Well, I think that I can remember early, not long after we were married and we were living in San Francisco around 2010, 2011, I was working full-time at the lab, and Olga was, she was just getting basically the Juno Health and Wellness blog started. And I believe that was even before we even named it Juno Health and Wellness.
Yeah, I had a blog called Divine Visions.
Mm. And we would put recipes on the blog, and I would take photographs for it. And all this was happening while I was working full-time. And so it was only like a limited amount of work that I could put into it. Once we realized that this is something that we really were passionate about, after I kind of had this idea in the back of my head planted also from the experience I had with my friend who was battling cancer, right around that time is when my mom actually was diagnosed with stomach cancer. And actually, she had been diagnosed and she was in remission, and then it came back. And so we went through a battle with cancer with her, and we were fortunate to have 6 more years after it first presented itself, where it was in remission. But then when it came back with a vengeance, and she's now passed on. But that was a big reason why I kind of decided, well, it's clear that life is very precious. It's short. You have to do something that you really love. You have to do something that you're passionate about. And to be honest with you, it was just, you know, I wasn't passionate about the lab that I was working in at the time, and, you know, I enjoyed the job, but it wasn't something that was driving me. And I have to credit Olga with the sense of adventure, the sense of just trust and faith in what's going to happen next. And she really provided that sort of grounding, and also a person to hold my hand with as we just leaped into this from this state of a very comfortable lifestyle in the Bay Area to something that was completely 180 degrees different and a risk, which is I was not as averse to. I'm very much like to know where I'm going to be planting my next foot, and Olga's more of like, let's just jump and we'll figure it out when we land. And, you know, with all that kind of swirling around in my head about my mom's health, about where we, what our purpose is in life and things like that, that's what really kind of drove me. And I believe, I don't know if it's similar for you or if you want to add anything to that.
No, that's pretty much how it happened.
I'm curious about, the aspect of that decision, so you're living in San Francisco, you have a job that supports living in San Francisco, and you decide to leave that job. So, right. I mean, I'm guessing one of your first thoughts was, we can't stay in San Francisco?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the cost of living there was extremely expensive, and if we really wanted to invest fully into and dive fully into this company that we were starting, Juno Health and Wellness, it became clear that, well, we can't live in San Francisco without the full-time job that was paying the mortgage, paying the rent, paying for the expenses for just our lifestyle there. And we looked at different options. And Olga, being from Colombia, we thought about, well, what about Latin America? What about Spain? So some of these things were all on the table, and I had been to Alicante in Spain several times before, and so I had actually a nice little foundation here with a couple of groups of families that I'm very close with, and so I was always encouraging her to come to Spain, and she had never been to Spain before, so it didn't take much convincing, because she was pretty excited about the idea of living on the beach and enjoying kind of a more tranquil lifestyle than what we were living with the day-to-day hustle and bustle in the area.
What are your thoughts now that you've been in Alicante for, I think, 2 years? Are you happy with your decision? Is it a good fit? Does the rhythm of life in Alicante match what you thought it would be?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That and more. I mean, really, what you know, there's always the pluses and the minuses. I mean, of course, living in the Bay Area, you're gonna have a lot of benefits of that too. Just from when I'm walking, I'm leaving my home, I'm leaving my friends, my family, what I'm used to, baseball, things like that, like just every day, like that you're accustomed to living with. But coming here to Alicante, for me in particular, I'll speak for the pace of life, which was just, as Olga mentioned earlier, it's a lot more about family. It's a lot more about your community. It's a lot more about just spending time with each other and even yourself at times, whether, I don't know if that's something that they would recognize or not, but really it's just you have more time to kind of breathe, it feels like. And that is a big difference here, which I think is like, it speaks volumes. The other thing is, one thing which she touched on earlier as well that I wanted to mention in terms of what we're able to do from swinging back to sort of the healthy lifestyle and where we do our grocery shopping and things like that. It's wonderful to be able to know the person who is your butcher, who's selling you your meats, the other person who's selling you your vegetables. You know, we go visit Paco and he has olives ready for us, or we call Ana and Antonio up and they're going to have the chicken cut is just as we like it and things
Antonio
like that.
Antonio has even showed us videos of his cows. He's like, this is where the meat that you eat comes from.
Exactly.
So wow.
I can't imagine, when I was in the States, it was just, going to the grocery store, but you don't know where it comes from. You know, it's completely different. So that's one aspect where I wasn't anticipating it, just feeling so much more warm and wonderful about the culture here.
I'm curious. I'm sure you've evolved. I'm sure the business has evolved, and you too have evolved running the business. Can you share with us one of the things that maybe you've gotten better at since Juno Health and Wellness began?
From a business perspective, I would have to say that, I think it's at different levels. Like, as a business, I think we've become more organized with everything, and for that I have to thank Pavan. He's the one that brings structure, planning, and seeing ahead, thinking about not tomorrow but the next year into our business. So the more time passes by, also the more that he learns and studies. He's a nerd, so he's doing tutorials and learning about marketing strategies. And we also for example took a course together, a two-day course on how to become an entrepreneur in Spain specifically. So I think we learned on that. As a team, we've also learned a lot more how to, work together, because it's not easy. We're married and we're at home together all the time. So I think at first, he's very, very organized, and I am very clear with the content that I want to create, but not with how to making it, turning it into a product. So chaotic, if you may. So, combining that and getting to a point of balance took us pretty much this whole time, but I think we finally reached that. We don't have a perfect work relationship, but I think we've improved probably an 80%.
Wow.
In that aspect. It was hard at first. It was hard, but we've matured a lot. I think that's the word, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We've matured more than evolved. It's we've grown up, really.
Okay.
And then from the point of view of what is it that we offer clients, what has evolved, and where I would say that where I've become better at is being even more clear and knowing exactly how to understand someone when they come, and offering them that holistic or integrative perspective. Because we were, even though I was first in my life trained as a psychologist and then had some therapy studies and stuff, when we started Junior Health and Wellness, we were first focusing on the nutrition aspect of health. And the more that we worked with clients and started seeing that they needed an extra support and that, you know, the tools were more complete when contemplated and actually worked on the emotional aspect, we started seeing that clients would return, stay longer.
Mm.
You know, before I would have like somebody for 3, maybe 4 sessions. Now I see people for 6 months.
Mm.
Because we go into what are the nutrition aspects of what you're going through that can help you, and they do it, they implement it, they feel better, but then they want to dig into what's the emotional root of that.
Mm.
And that has brought us to, you know, help people more long term, and they stay and they come back.
I'm curious how you would express what the main tenets are at the center of any healthy life. I mean, at the beginning of our conversation, you mentioned the words that many of us have heard, mind, body, and spirit. Now I hear you expressing a couple of those with different words, nutrition, emotions. What words do you have in your mind, or what words do you share out loud with your clients when it comes to those sort of central pillars?
Mm-hmm. The body, when we talk about the body, like the two main things are like, one, nutrition, meaning eat well, and that eat well, like very brief, is eat vegetables again. And then also move. I do have a belief, a strong belief, that we were not genetically designed to be sedentary. We need movement in order for all of our systems to work better. From the mind perspective, the main thing that I work with clients is on their thought process, like how they are nurturing or behooving their energy, their state of mind with their beliefs, the thoughts that they repeat inside their minds the most.
Mm-hmm.
And from the spirit point of view, what I always say is that the main aspect or how I want to understand it for the work that we do is like our energetic essence, is understanding how, when we, from that mind perspective or point of view or dimension, generate thoughts, we not only generate a state of mind, but we also generate a vibration. We like locate ourselves in a frequency that then comes back to us and feeds ourselves with information that also contribute to have or not a healthy body. So I help people understand that.
Mm.
And then, you know, the way in which or how I get specific about how that energy is affecting either their lungs or their intestines is through the model of the energy centers, the chakras.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about how and if religion comes into the mix, because, you know, Spain is a very religious country. Not everyone who lives here is quote unquote religious, but almost everyone who lives here is Catholic on paper.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is that something that you've sort of found yourself having to navigate? I mean, are Spaniards getting those needs met through the church, or... I'm just curious, has that been part of your experience practicing here in Spain?
Well, the thing is that up until now, we still have a really big percentage of our clients be elsewhere but Spain. Australia, like right now, I have like 5 clients from Australia, lots from the US, of course, from Colombia, Canada, London, you know, lots of different places. We've had to surf that, not only with people here in Spain, because we've also had clients here in Spain, but with people that sometimes come to me and say, like, if my ideals or the things that I'm going to explain or work with them about energy are going to go against religion. And I always say no, because to me, whatever the path is that helps you connect with, one, the trust that, or the faith that there's something bigger than us that's helping us, guiding us, that's good to me, you know. If they find it through, I don't know, meditation, or if they find it through religion, whatever it is, it's good. I just want them to find it. I just want them to, like, reach out to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a similar experience. I was helping a friend with like a saging ceremony or something, sort of, mm-hmm. You know, burning sage in the nursery where she was going to bring her baby home. And she's Spanish, and she invited all her cousins and her mom and her aunts. They all came for the ceremony, and I was very surprised by the sort of defensive energy, not from all of them, but definitely from maybe the older women in the group. And one woman, as she was walking through the door and we were saying hello to each other, she looked me straight in the eye and she said, "I am not going to do anything that goes against my religion." And I said, "Well, do not worry. There will be nothing happening that goes against your religion." But I just think, you know, when you're raised in a culture where there's one religion and everyone is married in that church and everyone is, you know, the funerals are all performed in that church. I think anything that happens outside of that culture and that bubble can feel really scary. So I'm not surprised that you've also been met with that question.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I'm curious to hear more about the two of you being non-Europeans living in Europe. Olga, as you said, you grew up in Colombia, and Pavan, you are American. I think your parents are Indian. Is that correct?
My dad is Indian.
Okay.
My mom was very gringa, as I would call it out there. she was from Iowa, so she was very Midwestern.
Okay, so just quite a mix of cultures just in your marriage. Anything you care to share about living here but not having been raised here?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think that it comes for me, I feel like it opens up your eyes a little bit more having the background that I have and that we have, and also that Juno, our daughter, has. You know, she was she 5 when she moved here?
Yeah.
And so she was 5 when she moved here, and she was, you know, born in San Francisco until she was 3, and then we moved to Colombia for 2 years, and then now here we are here in a completely different continent. And she's seen a lot of the world, and she actually got to travel quite a bit with me when she was young, when I was traveling for my job. And I feel like that provides quite a bit of just different perspective of the world. And I think that everybody needs that, you know? I think that it's so powerful to be able to have had the opportunity to travel and see different cultures and see how different people live. And, you know, you see, you know, when we were in Bogota, we saw both extremes. We saw excessively rich, very, very well-to-do people, and then complete opposite of the end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. We actually put together a campaign one time to help a family friend out whose fridge decided to conk out on her. And we found out she'd been living with months without a fridge, and she'd be buying milk in small quantities every day and eggs in small quantities every day. And so we decided and Juno was a big part of this too, so she can kind of be aware of just, you know, how everybody lives differently and how we can help people when we have that opportunity to help, and how it's so wonderful to be able to do that. And so here, I think that it's wonderful to sort of be able to recognize that, one, yes, there are healthy advantages of eating organic foods and things like that. But we also recognize that not everybody has that opportunity to be able to shop at Whole Foods or whatever and pay premium prices. But you do have the opportunity to be a little bit more present with what you're putting into your body in terms of adding more vegetables or whatnot, and also being more present with how you're eating. And this is one thing that I think you we touched on really early in the conversation, but we never dove into it. But the one thing that I recognize that is here in Spain that we don't see so much in the States, kind of putting the shoe on the other foot here, there's a lot of great things about where we come from the States, but one wonderful thing that I would recommend to all of our like American listeners is just the concept of when you're eating, sort of putting away your phone, connecting with your family. That's something that doesn't cost any money. And so for all kind of cultures, from all economic backgrounds, and everybody can take part in that. And just being present, and you know, right before you eat, take a few breaths and recognize like this beautiful food that's on your table, and that we're the company that you're going to share it with. So that was kind of a long-winded, a little bit more rambling response to that question, but I think I got there.
No, that's great. I appreciate all of the everything that you mentioned. You know, one thing I'd really love to hear you describe is what a typical weekday looks like in your family. What time do you get up? What's your daughter's school schedule like? Then what happens? I'm guessing that I probably know what it is, but I would love to hear you say it out loud, because I think it will feel very novel to a lot of our listeners.
It's great. It's really great. I mean, we're very busy, but it's busy doing things that are like nurturing for all of us. And sometimes, yeah, we'll end the day and we'll be tired, and sometimes we'll whine a little bit, and then I'm like, oh, we should not be doing this, because when you first when we start our conversation, asked about like how we were feeling here and how we were liking it and adapting, what you said was like, if our expectations of what it was going to be like were like being fulfilled, and yes, they are, because we live like a small town life. We live a pueblo life, where we do everything walking distance. We go to the doctor, to the lawyer, to the bank, to the dentist, to the grocery store, to Juno school, walking. So we get up at 8 in the morning, which I sometimes like, I'm like, oh my gosh, are we really like being like, oh my gosh, we have to get up now, and it's 8 a.m. Like, so many people have to get up, like, at 5 a.m. to go to work. So we just get up at 8. Juno starts school at 9, and then she gets out at 4:30. But her school is, like, 3 blocks away or 4 blocks away from our house. So we'll get her ready. We'll drop her off. And then sometimes we'll go for a run together, or he'll go for a run, I'll go to the gym, then we come back home. I usually also try to take some time to meditate for at least 20 minutes every day. And then we eat breakfast, and then our day, our work day, will start between 10:30 or 11 a.m. And then Pavan will most likely start like working on like either formatting like a guide for a client, or editing videos, which is one of the things that we've been putting a lot of work into right now, mostly him, to our YouTube channel. And then I'll start taking clients or prepping for clients, or maybe writing a blog or doing some making some Instagram content. Sometimes we'll get together. Well, on Mondays, we actually have our business meeting day, where we see like where we're at, what we need to do, if we're like, you know, completing our tasks. Like check our finances. Then we'll eat lunch around 2. We'll take some time to rest. Maybe watch a little something or read a little bit. If it's the summer and it's hot and we're like super tired, we'll like not take a nap but rest. And when we'll start activities again, like at 3, I usually, because of the like the difference in time with most of our clients, I most of the times do most of our clients in the afternoons. So anywhere between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. I'll have every day from 1 to 4 clients. Then we'll go pick up Juno at 4:30. And then every day there's something different. Monday, Wednesday, she has music class. Tuesday, Thursdays, there's English class here at home, because some kids come and Pavan tutors them. Then on a Friday and a Saturday morning, Juno has swim class. So, you know, like I was saying, those are like packed days, but everything we do walking, we don't have to be in traffic. We don't have to get up too early to make it happen. and then we'll try to eat dinner if it's not the summer around 8 p.m.
Which is early for Spain here.
Yeah, very early. But we try to do that. And then maybe now this year, Juno has a lot more homework than she used to. This new school where she's is a little bit more demanding, and she's at school for more hours than she used to be. But now she'll have maybe a little bit of homework. And then if not, we'll maybe watch something or play a game or read a book. Juno is, she likes to read a lot, thanks to Pavan. So they have these books, chapter books that they've been reading. And then she'll go to bed like around 10 p.m. the latest on a weekday. And then we go to bed too.
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah, exactly. And then we do it all again. Exactly. Well, thank you. I appreciate hearing the details of what your days look like. I have no doubt that there are many people out there who, based on this conversation, would love to get in touch with you. How can they do that?
They can email us, Olga@JunoHealthAndWellness.com or Pavan@JunoHealthAndWellness.com. They could write us on our Facebook page. We have a Juno Health and Wellness Facebook page, and they can message us there. We're both usually really attentive to checking if there's people that have sent messages. They can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Juno Health and make a comment in any of the videos, and we'll always respond. Or they can WhatsApp us or give us a call if they're here in Spain or in Europe.
Instagram, we're really active too.
Oh yeah, that's right, an Instagram account. We hear actually a bunch of clients come through Instagram because they, you know, they see our stories or videos, and then they'll message us on Instagram, which is also at Juno Health.
Wonderful. Well, that's lots of different channels that they can check out. I'm sure there's something there for everyone. Olga, Pavan, I'm so happy that you could join me today. I really appreciate your time, your insights, and I hope you'll be able to come back and speak with us again in the future.
We would love that. Kate, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Kate. It's been wonderful.
Thank you. Next time on Listen, we'll be joined by Sasha Jones, a native of Wales who runs Stigley Holistics in New York City. Hope you can join us. Listen is sponsored by RAF, cutting-edge cuisine in a traditional setting. For a look at the RAF dining experience, visit www.rafsanpedro.es. That's www.rafsanpedro.es. The producers of Listen are Lauren Lovett and Laura Munoz Solera. Our technical director and engineer is Iñaki Martinez, with original music by Lucas Munoz Jetmore. I'm Kate Jetmore, and this is Listen.